Exodus chapter 4. Let me give you a little bit of background as we turn to that passage. We've seen as we've begun to look at this series in Exodus that God's people were enslaved in Egypt. They've been treated appallingly. They've almost been suffering what we would now call ethnic cleansing. God declared that he would free his people, and it's clear that Moses was going to be part of that. Now, Moses had fled from Egypt many years before, and last week we saw that the Lord had revealed to Moses that he, the Lord, was going to be with Moses, was going to be equipping him, helping him through all that would happen. And as we turn to this, we've got to be wondering, after all Moses' doubts last week, would Moses really be trusting the Lord? Would God's people as a whole be trusting him? So, Exodus 4, beginning at verse 18. Then Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, "Let me go back to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive." Jethro said, "Go, and I wish you well." Now the Lord had said to Moses in Midian, "Go back to Egypt, for all the men who wanted to kill you are dead." So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God in his hand. The Lord said to Moses, "When you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh's all the wonders I have given you the power to do. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then say to Pharaoh, 'This is what the Lord says: Israel is my firstborn son, and I told you, let my son go so that he may worship me. But you refuse to let him go, so I will kill your firstborn son.'" At a lodging place on the way, the Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. But Zipporah took a flint knife, cut off her son's foreskin, and touched Moses' feet with it. "Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me," she said. So the Lord let him alone. At that time, she said, "bridegroom of blood," referring to circumcision. The Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the desert to meet Moses." So he met Moses at the mountain of God and kissed him. Then Moses told Aaron everything the Lord had sent him to say, and also about all the miraculous signs he had commanded him to perform. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshipped. I'm sure you'll find it helpful to turn back to Exodus chapter 4 on page 61 of the church Bibles. Well, as I mentioned as we began the reading, last time we saw that Moses had this unique encounter with the Lord God at the burning bush. But still after this, he was still reluctant to serve the Lord. He was very insecure about what he could do. And I guess it boils down to the fact that he was insecure because he was doubting the Lord's character and questioning the Lord's provision. But vitally, as we look at chapters 3 and 4, the Lord told Moses that he, the Lord, was going to be everything that Moses needed. And now by the time we get to the section we're looking at today, Moses seems to begin to be grasping this. So now we see Moses, to use the heading I'm putting up there, stepping out in the Lord's service. See, Moses begins his role in God's rescue plan at this part. So what does it look like in practice, serving the Lord, with the Lord's help? Well, certainly, for Moses going into this situation, would it be easy? Well, no. Was it going to be just straightforward because the Lord said go? No. And could Moses just go and do whatever he wanted because the Lord said, "You're going to be in my service"? Well, absolutely not. And of course, we can probably see immediately the parallels with us. If we're involved in the Lord's service, if we're about to step out in his service, there are great parallels for us. Yes, of course, unique was Moses' role. He had a unique place in God's history at a unique time in God's plan. But there are parallels for our service for the Lord. Would we be involved in rescuing millions from slavery in Egypt? No. But there are things we can learn in his ongoing work as we serve, telling people about God's great work of salvation, bringing the message of the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross for those who would turn to him. So if we're stepping out in service for the Lord, will it be a piece of cake? No. Well, if we're doing God's will, can we just expect to just breeze through it? No. But there are things that are really important here as we do that. As I glance at you, I can just think of people for whom it fits particularly. Those who are Oak Hill students preparing for a church-based ministry. This is particularly applicable to you. For somebody like Vikraman getting ready to go back to serve in India, there's particular things for him. Those who are going to be serving on camps this summer. Those who are serving in all sorts of areas in EEFC, whether it's the kids' clubs or Tots by the Park or the pastoral care team, etc., etc. Those helping with the way in. And crucially, we need to see, as I look around here, that Moses was 80 years old at this point. This is not just for young people. This is for everyone. So what will it mean if we step out in service, in other words, just go for it in serving the Lord? So if you're just thinking about starting some sort of area of service, I want to encourage you, this is for you. If you're considering something, thinking, oh, maybe I could do that, there are things that are really important here for you. If you are praying for those, as I'm sure you are, in areas of service, there's things that will teach us in how we can pray. So to help us, just look at Moses here. So he'd met the Lord at the burning bush, or the not burning up bush is probably a better way of putting it. He then has to actually step out and follow the Lord. And let's see what that means. So first of all, stepping out in the Lord's service means acting wisely. Let's look at verse 18. Then Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, "Let me go back to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive." Jethro said, "Go, and I wish you well." Now, as you've seen from last week, that Moses was working for his father-in-law. He was tending his flocks. And Moses was about to take Jethro's daughter, Zipporah, and also his grandchildren away. Now, Moses could, of course, just gone up to him and said, "Now, the Lord's appeared to me in a burning bush. The Lord's given me a great job to do, and I'm just taking them off." But Moses here acts wisely. He acted with courtesy, explained the situation. And he came out with things in a way that Jethro could accept and he could grasp. And for many people, when we're about to start a new area of service to the Lord, so often it will affect others around us, our families, our employers if we're in paid work, maybe just others that we're in close association with. And this is an encouragement to consider how we might tell them, how we might best explain what we're doing. I certainly know those who've got non-Christian family members who have prayed and then spoken very wisely and very sensitively when they've thought about an area of Christian service, explaining it in a way that can best be accepted by their non-Christian family. I can think of those who've considered leaving their jobs to serve the Lord in some way, who've at an early stage chatted with their boss or their line manager about what they're doing. Now, it hasn't always gone down well, but often it's opened up real opportunities for gospel conversation. And so often the Lord honours this. And then in verse 19, the Lord encouraged and comforted Moses. Verse 19, "Now the Lord had said to Moses in Midian, 'Go back to Egypt, for all the men who wanted to kill you are dead.'" It wouldn't have been easy for Moses to go back when he knew that there were people after his life. But we already know, because we've read chapter 2, verse 23, that this was not the case. That this was the case, that those who tried to kill him were dead. The Lord would have arranged everything. But until the Lord revealed it to Moses, Moses would not have known. And then, of course, he'd have been encouraged as he started to step out in serving the Lord. So we don't know how the word of the Lord came to Moses. But, of course, it doesn't matter how it came to him. We have the Lord's word with us. And, of course, the encouragement, if we're ever thinking about serving the Lord, is to turn to God's word daily. So often we'll find that turning to his word, he will reveal to us just what we need each day in his service. See, acting wisely as we step out of the Lord's service always means looking to what the Lord is teaching us day by day. It's certainly incompatible to be starting a new area of service or even thinking about it without looking to the Lord's guidance each and every day from his word. Certainly for the Way In team, each Thursday and Friday morning, we just turn to whatever psalm is in the readings for the day. And each and every time there's been something that's been particularly relevant to our service of him. Now, of course, the wisest thing that Moses could do in this situation was to rely on the Lord. And if you picked up from the end of last week, we saw verse 17, just before the passage we read today, the Lord said to Moses, "Take this staff in your hand so that you can perform miraculous signs with it." And when we read verse 20, we're told that Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey and started back to Egypt, and he took the staff of God in his hand. Now, for Moses, this staff in his hand was going to be the visible sign of God's power. Every time Moses looked at it, he was reminded, no, the Lord is powerful, that the Lord can do great things. And of course, as we go into his service, we don't have something like that. But every time we think of the cross, we have this immense reminder, the Lord is powerful, powerful enough over death and sin. The Lord can do great things. He can work in resurrection power. So as we step out of the Lord's service, acting wisely, supremely, always remembers what the Lord Jesus has done on the cross and what it means to trust that in our service of him. So if you feel you're about to step out in the Lord's service or just about to do it or you're thinking about it, act wisely with others. Act wisely by remembering the power of the Lord. But secondly, also, stepping out in the Lord's service means seeing that opposition will come. It's very clear, isn't it, in verse 21. The Lord says to Moses, "When you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do." So clearly the Lord was going to be with Moses. But halfway through verse 21, "But I will harden his heart," Pharaoh's heart, "so that he will not let the people go. Then say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son. And I told you, let my son go so that he may worship me. But you refuse to let him go, so I will kill your firstborn son." Then Moses needed to learn here that God's plan would work through Pharaoh's opposition to God. Now, not only is the Lord never stopped when people oppose him, but sometimes the opposition is the very thing that the Lord uses in his purposes. And we see it in all sorts of ways. Just one example this week at the Afternoon Christianity Explored group, we're getting towards the end of the course, but somebody turned up who hadn't been before. And he came, I explained we were halfway through the course, and he sat there. And you can just sometimes tell when somebody's bubbling up, when somebody's getting more and more angry. And it got to about 10 minutes before the end of the session, and it just came out. He was very, very unhappy about the teaching from the DVD. He was very, very unhappy about the things that I was saying that Jesus teaches about the grace of God and grace in salvation. And he just came out with this torrent of stuff. Now, I wasn't sure if the other people in the group understood it. But the other people in the group, responding to this man's started to say, "Oh no, but grace is this." And in fact, they understood it more, and I got the encouragement that they understood it just from responding to this man. Sometimes God's plan is to work through the opposition of others. And here in Exodus, the opposition comes from somebody much more powerful than somebody just turning up at a church group. It's the Pharaoh. For Pharaoh, read king or dictator or probably despot, the one who thought he had all power in this country because, in many ways, what he said went. One thing we do need to see at this point as well in Exodus is that Pharaoh's heart is increasingly hardened. If you've read through Exodus already, as you follow it through the next few weeks, something like 20 times we hear about Pharaoh's heart being hardened. Now, this hardening of his heart happens in three ways. Sometimes it's Pharaoh hardening his own heart. His opposition to the Lord means that his heart becomes increasingly hardened to all the Lord does and says. And other times we're just told that Pharaoh's heart is hardened, not who hardens it. If you were to turn over the page to chapter 7, verse 13, it says Pharaoh's heart became hard and he would not listen. But there are other occasions like this where it is the Lord who hardens Pharaoh's heart. And it's clear that the Bible gives human beings a real choice to whether accept God or reject him, to listen to God or ignore him. But it's also clear that the hardening of a leader's heart to the Lord is very serious. Of course, it was serious not only for the whole nation, but for Pharaoh's own family, as we see at the end of verse 21, including Pharaoh's own son. But at the same time, it's also very clear that God not only knows that this hardening of heart will happen, but also sometimes ordains that it will happen. It's something that a truth that is we need to accept, that sometimes the Lord does harden people's hearts. It's not easy to accept. But it's interesting that in the Book of Common Prayer, in the Anglican service for Holy Communion, that there is a prayer that says, "The hearts of kings are in thy rule and governance, and thou dost dispose and turn them as seem best to thy godly wisdom." Yes, we need to realise that sometimes people are totally opposed to the Lord. The Lord has hardened their hearts. We will face opposition. Let's not be surprised by that. And let's realise it doesn't stop God working for his much-loved children. Notice in verse 22 that we see that Moses was to say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son. And I have told you, let my son go so that he may worship you. Now Israel, the people of God, are called here God's firstborn son. It reveals the way that the Lord sees those who he's adopted into his family. How precious they are, how loved his chosen children are to him. And it shows how much they receive from the Lord. They are his firstborn. In other words, they receive all the benefits of this privileged position. And do we see how this should help us if we're stepping out in the Lord's service? Yes, sometimes opposition will come, but this never gets in the way of the word of the Lord and the Lord himself working for his children. And that can really encourage us in whatever service we're doing. We look across the situation nationally and think that the leaders are against us. But certainly if we look at the situation globally, you just think back 60, 70 years to the situation in China, where the leaders in China then removed all the Western missionaries. That resulted in lots of missionaries going to what is now South Korea, and that country growing in their Christian trust, but also then the Christian church in China with the indigenous leaders just growing massively. See, when people are totally opposed to the Lord and their hearts are hardened, it doesn't stop the Lord working. And even though there is great opposition to Christians in China now, what happens? Well, if you look at work in student work in universities across this country, if this year is like any of the previous years, there'll be Chinese students coming to study in this country who turn up at churches on the first Sunday they're in the UK and say, can you tell me about Christianity? See, the opposition to the Lord does not stop his purposes. That is a great encouragement, isn't it, as we step out in the Lord's service. As we seek to act wisely, we see that opposition will come, but we're not thrown by that. But also it does mean, stepping out in the Lord's service, that we need to follow the Lord's word ourselves. See, as we come to verses 24 to 26, we see that Moses is taught something very important, and so are we. Now, as I read this, it could be you thinking, what on earth is going on here? I was talking to somebody on Friday who said to me, I can't wait to hear about this bit about Zipporah and the flint knife. Well, let's look at these verses again. Verse 24. At a lodging place on the way, the Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. Now, we're not told the details, but Moses' wife Zipporah realized that something was seriously wrong with Moses. He was about to die. Whatever it was, it had the appearance of being fatal. And more than this, Zipporah realized that he'd been brought on by the Lord. Reading on, verse 25. But Zipporah took a flint knife, cut off her son's foreskin, and touched Moses' feet with it. Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me, she said. So the Lord let him alone. At that time, she said, bridegroom of blood, referring to circumcision. See, somehow Zipporah knew that the problem was that her son, their son, had never been circumcised. In other words, Moses had offended against the Lord. He'd gone against the Lord's word and his will. See, right back in Genesis 17, verse 7, it's very clear that circumcision was to be carried out by Abraham and all his descendants, and that included Moses. And we don't know why Moses had not obeyed the Lord in this, but in effect, the Lord was declaring, you can't go on in my service while you're still acting in willful disobedience to me. Well, thankfully, Zipporah saw what the problem was. But since it should have been Moses that did the circumcision as the father, then what Zipporah did, having performed the act, she touched Moses with the blood, therefore associating Moses with it. And notice what Zipporah said to Moses, halfway through verse 25, surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me, she said. Just imagine Zipporah looking at Moses, now recovered and no longer dying, and saying, Moses, you're back from dying. I thought I'd lost you, but now you're my bridegroom, my husband again. God has given you back to me because of the blood of circumcision. So what does it mean to us? Well, clearly we're not New Testament, New Covenant people. There's no need, you'll be pleased to know, to do emergency circumcisions on the way home. But we shouldn't just dismiss it at this point. There's no point saying, oh, all this circumcision stuff is Old Testament, it's no skin off my nose. We can't say that. Doing things in the Lord's service means doing things the Lord's way. If we're stepping out in the Lord's service, it must always mean we've got to follow the Lord's word. Now, Zipporah's understanding and her right action brought Moses back into the way of obedience, back to the Lord's word. And in whatever way we're serving the Lord now or in the future, we need to constantly be asking ourselves, am I following the Lord's ways? Or are there commands that I put aside, that I'm ignoring? This was a lesson that Moses needed to learn. And of course, if you know the situation ahead, Moses didn't learn this fully. A later lapse meant that the Lord did not enter the promised land. You can look at that situation in Numbers 20. Moses didn't learn this situation, that he needed to follow the Lord's ways, and it meant that he missed out going into the promised land. See, we may be in the Lord's service. We may be doing great things for him, but do we ever think, no, I think I know better than the Lord? Are there areas where we think, well, I know that's what the Lord says, but I can just do it my own way? In fact, as we look at this, will the Lord bring things to our mind? Will we ask him to bring things to our mind? Which means that we say, Lord, I need to put these things right with you. There's no point saying, oh, well, you know, I can just do things my own way. Because that is to say, thank you, Lord, I don't need your advice. Actually, I don't need your wisdom. I know better than you. In all that we're doing, we need to ensure, particularly in the Lord's service, that we're doing things his way. After all, isn't that the example of the Lord Jesus? What does he say in the Garden of Gethsemane? Not what I will, but what you will. Now, stepping out in the Lord's service means following the Lord's word in its entirety. And finally, it means trusting that the Lord goes ahead. See, following this awful incident, we see then a wonderful example of the Lord's goodness and provision to Moses. See, last time we saw that Moses was very concerned that he wouldn't be able to speak for the Lord, that when he was before Pharaoh or the elders of Israel, he wouldn't be able to get out what the Lord wanted. See, back in verse 10 last week, we saw that the problem was that Moses said he was slow of speech and tongue. Now, some have suggested that maybe Moses just got all shy in public settings. The Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, suggests that Moses had a stammer and just couldn't get the words out. See, whatever it was, we saw that Moses felt he couldn't speak, but therefore the Lord would provide Moses' own brother, Aaron, to help him. Now, isn't it valuable to hear this? Because when we step out in the service of the Lord, we might be fearful, but we see so often that the Lord goes ahead in preparing people just to help us in his service. The Lord had gone ahead here. Aaron was born before Moses. So verse 14, back in last week, tells us that the Lord had ensured that Aaron could speak well. Verse 27 in this week's passage informs us that the Lord went ahead to make sure that Aaron went out into the desert to meet Moses. And of course, there was no mobiles, no sat-navs. No, the Lord arranged and prepared everything so that they could meet together. It was the Lord's action. And there's something that stands out in these final verses. It's that everything went according to God's purposes, all according to his promises, just because the Lord had gone ahead and prepared everything. Aaron went out to meet Moses on God's mountain, promised in verse 14, fulfilled in verse 27. Moses told Aaron everything that happened at the burning bush, and Aaron agreed to help, promised in verses 15 and 16, fulfilled in verse 29, as Aaron goes along with Moses to all the elders of the Israelites. Aaron told the elders everything that had happened to Moses in verse 30. And then Moses performed the sign of the snake, the sign of the leprous hand, the sign of the blood. And once the elders had seen this, they believed the promise of salvation. It all happened just as the Lord had said, because the Lord had gone ahead and prepared the way. Now, if you were here last week, you'll have noticed just how little time this week is spent on all this coming to fruition compared with all the objections that Moses came out with, as we saw last week. See, Moses' fears were just seen to be ill-founded, as they always are, when it's just down to a failure to trust the Lord. See, how many of us can testify to the fact that once we decided to follow the Lord in serving him, then so often things just fall into place? That's because the Lord goes ahead when we step out in serving him. And if there's areas where you're thinking, I want to do that, but I just can't do it, or there's so many objections, there's so many things in the way, then will we trust the things that we're looking at today that the Lord will go ahead for us? If there's an area of service you've been hanging back from, will you be urged today to trust the Lord? And the section finishes with the people bowing down and worshipping the Lord. That's right. That's great. That's what should happen. And of course, if we read ahead, if you know the story ahead, then the people are up and down, and it's not always going to be like that. But so often, when we step out in service with the Lord just gives us encouragements that will keep us going even when the opposition and the tough times come. The Lord often gives us those beautiful moments in his service, like it must have been great for Moses and Aaron then, when they can say, thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for that. So can I say it again? For us today, is there someone just been holding back from serving the Lord in some way or other? Will this encourage you? Will it encourage you with something here, something wider afield, maybe something even overseas? Will you be encouraged? Will it be a passage you'll go back and just pray through and say, Lord, what will this mean for me? I hope this passage has urged you and encouraged you as it has for me to step out, but in a wise way, in a realistic way, in an obedient way, and in a way that trusts and fully trusts that the Lord will go ahead when we step out in his service.